forward, hold the right foot. Okay, right foot forward, hold the left foot.
That bad, huh?
Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going on. Anyway, Fish and Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, and Captain Kale in the guest seat. We're going to talk about the area fishing report, what's going on, all the different stuff, and try and figure out along the way a little bit more about the tarpon and what's been going on with that. So, anyway, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, look at that. Everybody's talking. Wow. What a day.
Oh, yeah.
I guess we're going to start up the river. Now, Kale, you were hitting tarpon up river. What's going on up there now?
The tarpon are still up there. Every hole that we stopped in yesterday had tarpon in it. And that was starting from Shell Creek all the way up past the campground.
Really? Now, from what I understand, though, you got to get through the sharks first.
Yeah, there's a lot of bull sharks up there. We were catching nice little 4 and 5 foot bull sharks. And they're changing what they want on a daily basis. Sometimes they want live, smaller mullet. Sometimes they want tilapia. Sometimes they'll want a catfish tail. So you have to go up there, as usual, you know, with tarpon, loaded for bear.
Gotcha.
Everything, including the kitchen sink?
Right, right. I'd even consider the laundry room sink.
It's kind of how they act when they get up in that river. I mean, they're difficult enough.
How they act everywhere.
Yeah, but sometimes they have a predictability about them in other places, but it seems like the river and the canals, they always get funky. Yeah.
I think they've got just so much more of a wider food source up the river.
Yeah. Got the little hoblo catfish, the regular catfish, tilapia.
Mayan cichlid, sand bream, ducklings.
Yeah,
ducklings. You name it. I mean, they're going to eat it.
Yeah, people forget that tarpon would actually not have any problem eating a duck or a bird of some description, like every other fish.
Right. If it's in the water, it's fair game.
All right. Anything else happening upriver?
a lot of gar. A lot of big catfish, sail cats, big sail cats, 5 to 10 pound sail cats. The weird one for yesterday, we caught about a 10 pound jack on the shark rig on a chunk of mullet on the bottom.
That's a little odd.
No, the jacks, I used to do real good on jacks up there.
That was, but on chunk bait on the bottom?
Yeah, on just about anything, yeah.
I was more surprised by the chunk bait on the bottom than I was catching a jack up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we used to go up chasing jacks up there all the time.
Yeah, I could see the jack part of it, just picking a dead bait up off the bottom or cut bait off the bottom, just...
And ate it's it...
something you really only see the big jacks do, but...
Ate it like a cut bait, or like a catfish. You know, you get that little tick, 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 and it stops. Tick, 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 and it stops. And then tick, 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 and it keeps going. Didn't act like a jack until he saw the boat for the first time.
Really?
Yep.
Was he good size, like 5, 6 pounds?
Sharks did the same thing. Oh, it was a good, solid 10-pound jack.
Okay, yeah. Big.
Oh, yeah, so big jack.
That's where the difference comes in, because he's looking at that big chunk of bait. He's trying to chew on it.
Sure,
all that.
Sure.
Because even a bigger jack like that doesn't have a very big mouth.
No.
They're, you know, a lot smaller mouth than what a tarpon or a shark would have. So,
but right. It did up the quality of shark bait we had.
You know, you just pay for these mistakes. You know, you think, one meal, what could it hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you lose your pajamas.
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure I was ready for that one, but all right. The pajamas are gone, and we're back into... All right.
Show's going downhill fast.
We're going to the 41 bridge right now. All right, what's going on at the bridge?
There's been tarpon there at night. Been some okay catch and release snook in the early morning. And then I've had a couple mixed reports of a couple small cobia and a couple small whiting, but very scattered. You know, even the typical bridge trolls haven't been up there as much as they have been the last several days. So
no, I've been noticing that too.
Something changed a little bit in the last week.
Well, I expected the cobia to start thinning out.
All right.
Yeah, you know, we were seeing them at certain spots in big numbers.
Has anybody talked about Lashley Pier? You know,
Lashley Pier. Actually, I guess that little kids tournament, was it last weekend?
Yeah.
The kid that won it caught a 33-inch cobia off of there, from what I was told.
I'm glad I didn't go.
Yeah. You know, so they've been catching a few fish there: a couple oddball trout, a couple mangrove snapper.
His first time fishing, probably.
He probably
brings in illegal cobia. I'd have quit. I'd have quit. All the rods would have been. Huh? All the rods would have been on eBay. I'm done.
I can honestly tell you, it. You know, there's no fighting luck.
No.
I don't care who you are. If you go out fishing with somebody who's never held a fishing pole, they're either just. It's going to be, they can't do anything wrong, and every time, I mean, they can throw the line, it can hit up on land, they'll reel it in twice, it gets 2 feet in the water, and they've got a 42-inch snook.
Yep.
Right.
Or they never actually, nothing happens. It's usually
one extreme
to the other.
Yeah. But it's usually, they're usually the one catching fish, at least on a charter boat. Number one, they don't have any bad habits, and number two, they're usually the one that's more apt to listen to you.
Gotcha. Yeah, I would say that's true, too. I think the number one mistake people make is paying, you know, $300, $400, $500 for a charter and then doing what they want to do.
Right.
This is what I want to do, but you're paying me to catch you fish. If you did this, you could probably catch them. And I've probably talked about it before, but the best or worst circumstance of it was I was fishing very shallow grass flats. Probably 8-10 inches of water over the top of the grass, crystal clear water. We were way back, and you really had to really throw the bait to get it in a trough because we had beautiful grass, and then it dropped off in a deeper spot. But we had to be back so far because if they could
see you,
if we could see into the hole, they could see us and game over. Exactly. And every time I turned around, I'd look, and there's their bait sitting there in that shallow water, and I'd say, you see your bait? And they're like, yeah, it's right there. I'm like, yeah? Water's real pretty, isn't it? Yeah. Crystal clear. Oh, man, it's beautiful. I said, and you can see your bait? Oh, yeah, it's right there. Do you see any fish by your bait? No, no, no. You think maybe we want to put it back in the deep trough back there where the fish are laying? Yeah,
maybe.
So I cast it back up in there because, you know, it's funny. Almost anybody can cast, but there's certain types of casting that's really, really tough to do. And to make that long distance one, you got to really stretch your arms out, use your arm as well as the rod to get as much length as possible. Your arm becomes like an extension of the butt of the rod, so you're making these big arc casts. And boop, drop it right in there. And I go to the front of the boat, check the other guy, and I look back, and there's his bait swimming around. I say, can you see your bait? Yeah.
Really? I don't know how many times I've stood at the side of the boat and looked down and said, whose dog is this? What do you mean? Somebody's bait sitting right here. Well, what do you mean, whose dog is this? If it's sitting here by the boat, all you're doing is taking that bait fish for a walk. You're not catching anything. Fish are over there. Yeah. Your bait's here. He has taken refuge under the boat.
Well, that's why I use a different color line on all of my rods, because when I started that back with monofilament, and when monos started coming out in all the different colors, I just by accident threw some bright chartreuse line on, bright green, and it was catching some fish, and then I noticed, well, heck, I got red, and I got this one and that one, and I carried it right on through with the braid. People say, well, you know, I said, but now everything comes in so many colors. Right. And when I look down and I see, you know, a bait fish, some leader, and yellow line, I know which rod it belongs to.
Yellow, you're over here. Cast back out.
Mm-hmm. It worked so well. But what's weird is the guys will say, no, line color ain't going to matter. All right, well, let me put a different one on each one. That way you'll know which one it is. No. Just give me all green. So you think color matters? No.
No, but give me green.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, that'll take us over to Bayshore. Yeah.
Color doesn't matter till you pull out the pink braid.
And I don't think I've been on the water since that pink has come out where I have not had a rod with that pink line on it.
I like it.
Well, I catch fish with it, so it's hard not to like it. All right, Bayshore Pier is where we're at.
Bayshore's had a couple guys catching a couple snook still off of there in the early mornings or at night.
Sharks at night.
Been catching a few small bull sharks at night. And that's and about it that I've heard of personally.
A trickling of cobia. Nothing worth really targeting, but one or two.
More than what I've heard. I haven't even heard of any whiting this week off of there.
So, that is taking us to the Port Charlotte Canal Systems.
Got quiet real quick.
Right.
Yeah. did I say a dirty word?
Jacks have been really heavy at the mouths of the canals, along with some juvenile tarpon.
So they're not going into the canal?
They're coming up in. I haven't heard much of jacks up far inside.
Not far.
But I've heard of them at the mouth.
Now, where are we classifying mouth of the canal?
First 100 yards?
Yeah. His canal this morning was full of them.
So.
But they didn't go past the first canal on the left, past Ray Smith's house.
Gotcha. All right.
Then the juvenile tarpon have been in there around Grassy Point and also Spring Lake. And then I've seen a couple of small black drum going by my dock. I haven't heard of anybody catching any, but seeing a few back there behind my house, and for what little I'm there to see them.
Heard about any sand brim?
No. I think it's too salty. I think they're way, way in the back canals right now.
Sand brim are saltwater.
Right, but they like extremely brackish. They're a little bit more on that brackish side.
Okay. Have people been looking for sand brim?
No, I was just curious. I just random thought struck my head. You know, I haven't had alcohol or really anything today to keep my thoughts in line. So, you know.
Okay.
Just mind wandering.
Okay. Right?
I'm going to cruise over that. I'm going to head over to the Eljo Bean Pier. Anything going on at Eljo?
Well, snook season closed on Sunday night, so I haven't heard much for the snook activity, but there's still been some guys fishing off of it, catching a couple trout, not numbers, but definitely better quality size, mangrove snapper and jacks. And the jacks have been pretty decent size. They've been working along the pier and along the bridge itself. You know, nice size jacks, too, up to like 8, 10 pounds.
No ladyfish up there?
Mm-mm. I haven't heard of any ladyfish up there. The only ladyfish I've heard about is a different area completely.
Yeah.
There's also been some tarpon there at night around all the pilings of the bridge itself.
Some what?
Tarpon.
Tarpon.
Okay. Yeah. And they've been assorted sizes from 10 pounds to 100 pounds.
Okay, and let's try the rest of the Myakka area. Anything going on through the rest of the Myakka system? Cattle Dock, Tippy Canoe, anything?
Tippy Canoe and the north entrance to the Myakka cutoff has had some big snook in it.
Trout.
Handful of redfish, handful of trout. The trout are, once again, not great numbers, but definitely better quality.
We seem to make that switch. A few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I saw it on other places that I've fished where you're now into quality, not quantity.
Okay. Yeah, we keep talking every time we do a broadcast about how weird the trout fishing has been. In months where you would expect it to be great, it's mediocre at best.
Yeah.
Maybe they're doing something, maybe not, but... Then all of a sudden, a month after, really they should have thinned out and there would be very few trout, it actually gets better.
Well, people keep saying that the fishing isn't what it should be and all this, and I think what happened is we all got into the mindset this year that everything was going to happen early. And we had every indication late winter, early spring that it was going to. But then that bait never came in. So everything went back to its normal schedule. And we just weren't ready for normal.
I'm ready for normal. My problem is abnormal is now normal.
Right. I was going to say, your definition of normal is vastly different than ours.
Yeah, because all of a sudden, no matter which way I look, the water temperatures are different each month of each year. Every yes. May, the water is different than the previous May.
Yes.
This year, we just had a 65-degree night.
Right.
We're getting ready for more of them. And right. This is May. Right. It should be 75 degrees at night.
Yep.
And 90 degrees during the day. And everything is...
I shouldn't have to run my windshield wipers in the morning.
Yeah.
And I still am.
Weird. I don't... So, abnormal is now the new normal. But I think the biggest problem is people who came, you know, who have fished here for a few years, they know at this in May, this is where they should go. In April, this is where you should go. January, this is what you should do. And last January, the river was at 14
right.
feet.
Tons of rain.
And this year, it was at 1.1 foot.
Which is actually below normal.
Below normal, right. So we went from having floodwaters last year. The previous year, I think it was at 3 foot or something like that. So, you know, the river makes a difference. How much fresh water's inputted. How
clear it is.
How clear it is. Everything in... last year, you could be within 4 feet of a fish. They'd never know you were there. The water was so dirty. And this year, the water's like gin. So.
Yeah, you got to be sneaky.
Yeah. Speaking of sneaky, anybody snuck into Gulf Cove? What a segue!
I got a report of a guy who was catching some bass and Mayan cichlids way up in the back.
The freshwater's been doing real well up there.
Okay. Anything else?
Just the Mayan cichlids and the bass? That's all you heard, too?
Now, yeah.
Or anything else?
I haven't heard much on snook or redfish.
Any kind of lures you guys heard? I know I got one in my head, but I don't want to, you know, prejudice the thing. On the Mayan cichlids and tilapia.
Beetle spin.
Beetle spin.
I've had a couple guys buying beetle spins to go back in there.
To me, everybody's asking for roadrunners.
I've had a few people ask for them, yes.
We've got them. They're up there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's basically like a rooster tail, right?
No,
a roadrunner
has underspin on it.
You know how a beetle spin has the little beetle plastic body with the spinner over the top?
Right.
Well, what a roadrunner has is the lead head and the same curl tail body, but below the lead head attached to it is a little spoon.
So it's an upside down beetle spin.
Kind of. But it's
not on a big arm. It's actually just right off the base of
the lead head. And decades ago, 25 years ago, they were the hottest thing going. I mean, you had to have cards and cards and cards of different colors, and then for 15 years nobody asked for them, and then now all
something
of a sudden,
old is new again.
Yeah, everything old is new again. So, all right, let's go to the West Wall. What's going on the West Wall?
A lot of different stuff.
Yeah,
I mean. The snook and redfish moving up and down that entire shoreline has been pretty incredible.
It almost seems like all the redfish from the east side have gone over there.
Bigger fish?
Bigger, numbers. More numbers, you name it. It seems to be much, much better on the west side than the east side.
Right. There's been some trout, a few pompano, and a
Spanish mackerel out on the flats, right on the edge.
A lot of scattered bonnet heads. And it seems like they're in little groups. You go a mile and not see one, and then all of a sudden you get into a little spot, and there's 20 of them.
Yep.
A lot of guys have been having fun with that. A guy actually took his wife out fishing, and it was one of her first times fishing. He was in here the other day talking about it, and they got into the bonnet heads, and literally they caught like 5 or 6, but they were having so much fun just watching them swim around the boat because, you know, like we're talking about, the water's so clear out there right now. They just sat there and just watched them. He said it was pretty amazing. He said there was at least 20 within sight just swimming around the boat.
I can sit out there and watch them all day long.
So could I. It's just fun.
Yeah. I used to like cruising the bar, you know, when the water got like this. and if you can just drift, and literally all of a sudden you come up on top of almost anything. I mean, from spiny boxfish, puffers, sharks, trout, you name it, every fish imaginable, stingrays, yep. And all of a sudden the boat gets right over their head, and then they freak out.
You know, little
missiles taken off, but until then they're just kind of milling around and
don't even know you're there.
They don't. Yeah. All right. Speaking of milling around, not knowing where I am, Cape Hayes.
Cape Hayes has had good variety of stuff. There's been actually a little bit of glass minnows there. So the bonnet heads, the trout, some snook, a few incidental redfish on and around those whole flats there. And
Spanish mackerel
and oddball bluefish.
Bluefish on the backside. Because yeah. Not only is it glass minnows, there's also really small greenbacks running around in there, juvenile greenbacks.
Gotcha. Little gillers.
Yep.
So, summing up Cape Hayes, because I got a little lost there. What's there at Cape Hayes?
Trout, some snook, some redfish. Not very many, but a few redfish.
Now, the snook, bluefish, are they and up on, against the beach, or are they out on the bars?
Both.
Yeah.
Both. Guys have been catching them in both areas. I've heard a lot of crazy reports since Saturday, the day before snook season closed. I've had some really bizarre reports of snook, and not just little guys, like giant snook.
So are you willing to share these reports, or is
we're not getting to all those spots.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, we're not to the spots.
But that is one of the spots, though, that I'm getting some of the reports.
This teaser has been brought to you by Robert. He's unwilling to tell it this time, but stay tuned.
But I'll get scolded if I go to a different spot.
Same bat panel, same
the man that owns
place.
This.
All right. Okay. Our producer gets mad.
We are in Bull and Turtle Bay now.
All right, now we can talk about those snook.
You'll hear what I gotta put up with. And you wonder why these reports are stakes so long. Okay, go ahead. I'm ready to type.
There's some big snook cruising literally all through Turtle and Bull Bay. And not just in one particular spot. You pull up in one area along a trough, and if you sit and wait, 2 to 10 fish are going to come through. And then there won't be anything again for another 2 hours, and another 5 to 10 fish come through. And there's a lot of the little buck snook fouling them, but there's like 35 to 45 inch fish that are being followed by the little guys. And they're eating cut bait mostly, cut ladyfish. Dead thread fins, frozen sardines, pretty much kind of a mixed barrage of it, but they're really tearing into the cut bait more than they are the live bait. If you want the little tiny snook and numbers of them, throw all the white bait, pinfish, or shrimp you want, they'll eat that, but the big fish,
shrug it off.
You better have your tarpon gear with you, even though the majority of them are kind of more open water. They're big enough where they're going to take you to the nearest bush. There've been some pretty impressive fish swimming through there, and they're all of them are heading towards the pass. Every fish I've heard of is heading down.
That's what they should be doing.
It. Absolutely. It's about the only thing.
Yeah.
Everything else is a little screwy, but the snook seem to be doing what they're supposed to do.
Okay. So, let's take a jot out into the area there at Cape Hayes Reef. Anything going on out there?
A few Spanish mackerel, a few mangrove snapper, a couple of short cobia. There's been some thread fins scattered on top of it and around it, but they've been really inconsistent there. And I think that's why the Spanish macs and bluefish and stuff like that have been kind of hit or miss there.
I expected the cobia to thin out. It's not that they're thinning out, they're spreading out. Now we've got all that bait coming up into the harbor, and they've moved off the reefs. They've moved off their usual places and are out looking for food.
So, possibly anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of another anywhere, somewhere from Kaopalu up towards Placida, Catfish, Wooden, anything on the tailing flats out there?
Lots of big trout out there on those tailing flats, especially up towards Wooden and Catfish Creek. You've got a lot of redfish. inside Whiddon and catfish too.
A lot of those same big snook are throughout there also. They're getting some
really
good sized snook all the way up to the Gasparilla Marina Channel. I mean, all through there from that whole area all the way down to Kaopalu. Been pretty impressive with some of the pictures and some of these guys talking about some of these fish.
Okay. Which takes us over to the Placida Trestle. How strange is that?
Somebody was telling me that it's closed. No, when Josh did that talk the other night, we drove by there, and they've got construction, the fencing, the plastic fencing along the mangrove side of Mercury, the proving ground. Along the whole trail going down, and the fence, the gate is gone. And somebody called yesterday asking us when they're going to open the trestle, but when we were there, there was two guys leaving with their fishing poles and pier cart. So I don't know if it's closed or not.
Well, we'll have to get a report on that and find out what's going on.
Yeah.
Well, they were working on, they took out the swing bridge at the end of the trestle.
Right.
And
they took out that tower, the concrete.
No. The further down the trestle,
the bit out in the middle, and it sat between one pier and the other,
right
in the center.
Right, and they've been talking about taking some sections of it out, gotcha. Not all of it.
Well, they're talking about mostly not where the Placida Pier is, but right. everything between there and
the South Pier
over Boca.
Right.
Gotcha.
But I think they're only doing it from the swing bridge towards Boca because so many boats fish that length. I think they may be keeping that section in.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. As it starts falling down, you know.
Something's got to be done.
Well, I would like to see them just leave it there, and it'll gradually go underwater. Just put up some, you know, danger buoys, you know, underwater hazard buoys. You know, cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to remove that stuff and taking away all the structure.
Yep.
All right, so we'll get back to you.
Yeah. I'll call Josh later because he'll be driving down there today and tomorrow, probably, to put stuff out, and I'll have him take a drive by there and see what he knows.
Okay. Stump Pass, Lemon Bay. Well, actually, Lemon Bay. What's going on in Lemon Bay?
All the docks on the mainland side are holding a lot of snook, a handful of redfish, even been some good size mangrove snapper. Not very many numbers, but good size fish. You know, 13, 14, 15 inch fish. Which is better than I've been hearing lately for over there. And then there's been some trout right out there in that 2 to 5 feet of water kind of scattered all along the grass flats there. Same thing that's happening in the harbor. It's better quality fish, but not quantity. So just got to work it and drift. And it seems like the white color of anything, doesn't matter if it's a jerkbait, paddle tail, curl tail, whatever, white has been the color up in there lately. Producing a lot more fish. Same way with that electric chicken has still been productive too, but I've heard a lot of guys come, or had a lot of guys in here buying white to go fish up there. You haven't been up in there at all?
Nope. Have not.
Okay.
I don't venture that far. Every once in a great while.
Try and take the little boat out today for a little while. Once I get done with this, I'm going to head to the house and fuel up the little boat and kind of get everything ready and take that out for a little test ride. And if that one goes okay, then I'm going to get real out of the box and put my boat in the water.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, right. If you can survive on the little boat, you'll be all right on yours.
Well, I'm going to stay up on the river. The little boat's too windy to go anywhere else.
Still, it's a little boat.
All right, Englewood Pier, Tom Adams, what's going on up there?
Still some juvenile tarp in there at night with a few snook. Now that snook season's closed, it'll get a little less pressure, so it'll be a little bit more enjoyable to go out there during the daytime. I'm still hearing of some ladyfish, a few mangrove snapper, some very few incidental sheep's head. and they're starting to pick up a few more whiting and the very small jacks. You know, a couple of guys, I thought they were blue runners at first with the guy's picture, but they were little jacks. I mean, little.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they're like, I don't know, 8 to 10 inches long. I'm like, yeah, they're blue runners. And he's describing it to me, and then he showed me the picture. I'm like, oh, no, wait a minute. Those are,
yeah, it's a jack.
Those are cute little jacks.
Okay. Let's see. Well, I guess that takes us out into the Gulf of Mexico.
Not too many people going out very far. Most of them are staying within 10 miles or closer.
It's been too windy.
Been so windy, and that wind shifting over the next couple days too, so it's not going to be real enjoyable. But they've been getting some Spanish mackerel, some king mackerel, some permit. Still the mangs and lanes and porgies and stuff are doing real good on the bottom bite. What else I heard about? Some barracudas, a couple incidental sharks of assorted flavors and sizes. You know, it's a mixed gamut. Only a couple guys have been running way offshore in their big boats, and they're coming back beat up for the couple of grouper that they caught.
Not worth it.
No. No. The one guy said he was already committed. He said, I made it to 25 miles. He said, I'm going out another 10. He says, I'm already here this far and got my butt beat up. I might as well. I'm like, man, I think I would have stopped about 12 miles with this rocking and rolling as it was. He says, yeah, I should have too.
Well, what was weird is yesterday morning, it was dead calm.
Yes.
Beautiful day yesterday.
I mean, absolutely amazing. And I'm out there trying to... gathering leaves up because I didn't touch them all winter.
It was the only day you could.
And, you know, and I'm going along and I'm using a blower and the vacuum and the rakes and the shovels, and I go to start working in by where the big swing is in the front of the pirate ship.
Yep.
I'm trying to, all of a sudden I go to blow some of that stuff out towards the yard so I can just hit it with the lawnmower. And all of a sudden, boom, it starts blowing in my face. And I mean, it just went
out of nowhere.
Dead nothing to windy. And but I don't think I've seen it that calm
in a long while.
Weeks.
I didn't know how to act.
Yeah, I mean, it was just staggering. I'm walking outside thinking, wow, okay, I figure out which way the wind's blowing. I'll, you know, start working that side of the yard. And I go, well, heck, I can go anywhere I want.
Right.
Yeah, so. I actually caught myself doing 32 mile an hour on the river.
Hmm. Yeah, you know? It's...
I lost the feel for it. I hadn't been able to do over 20 in the last month.
Yeah, bang, 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 bang. I mean, it was just the strangest thing to have that dead calm. It just kind of threw me off, you know. So at least now the yard went from embarrassing to just messy.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anyway, which one of the passes would you pick to talk about today?
Honestly, I would pick Boca Grande or Captiva Pass because they're virtually identical right now. They're the more consistent out of any of them. Tarpon have been in and out of them both. Been a lot of snook starting to move into them. Been some fairly good mangrove snapper, a couple Spanish mackerel, even been a couple kings just on the outside of the pass and some of those bait balls as they're coming in with some of that incoming tide.
Sharks.
And of course, yeah, sharks. Been a good variety of different sizes and flavors again.
Yep.
You know, some bulls, some black tips, oddball hammer, even a couple lemons cruising through there. But just a good mixed variety of stuff. And of course, there's been a lot of baby gag grouper and a couple few small red grouper. You know, just to mix things up as you're bottom fishing through there.
No. I like catching grouper in the pass.
There was a whole bunch of spotted eagle rays down in Captiva Pass day before yesterday, according to a customer. He said it was just awesome watching them come in and out and in and out.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. No, I've heard a lot of reports of them all over, but he said these were, like, consistent for, like, an hour and a half. Two would come through, and then three would come out, and then two would come back in. He said it was just neat watching them.
They're cruising underneath the mangroves on the east side.
Yeah.
You're sitting there trying to catch redfish, and you have a 6-foot spotted eagle ray go by the mangroves.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
That's
it's cool.
Well, one of the coolest things I ever saw is, like, it was a clear time of year like now.
Right.
You took me down to Pine Island to show me just some of the deeper holes and some, just gave me a tour to get me more familiar, because it's going back 15 years ago probably. Right. And we were behind the fish shacks, and he was showing me some of the troughs there and spotted eagle ray. And I've always seen a few here and there, but it's always been in darker water or whatever. And this one was like a 5-footer cruising right along parallel to the trough, and we just followed it. And I got to stand on the bow, and we followed it for like 200 yards. Yeah. I was just in awe watching this beautiful thing just cruise along in that clear water. It was totally, I mean, one of my more cooler, vivid memories of ever seeing one.
Yeah, well, that's a nice thing when you're in that foot and a half, 2 foot of water, and you've got a 5-foot stingray cruising along. It literally looks like something you would see in a science fiction movie.
Abyss. Yeah. That's what it reminded me of, is that movie Abyss, the way it was just gliding along just so fluid and elegantly. It's just awesome.
Yeah, because they can't go in a big hurry because there's not enough water to do it. So they do a really cool combination of just little ripples and gliding. And
so you accidentally hit the rabbit button on your trolling motor next to one. Don't move. And you wouldn't realize, looking at them, how slow and graceful that they are, how fast those things can go.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a manatee.
Yeah, those things haul.
I bet you a manatee can hit 30 miles an hour in a burst.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
I mean, that's staggering how quick they are. And then you see one of those big stingrays explode.
Yeah.
And you're, you know...
I have no problem figuring out that they can go fast when you watch one launch 6-8 feet in the air and then come crashing down. Yeah. It doesn't surprise me that they can scoot.
And Josh was talking about it. You know, we were talking about mullet and stuff. He was talking about his radio program, and we were talking about mullet, and are they a fish or a bird? You know,
right?
Right.
Because they have a gizzard just like birds do. You know?
Yeah, there you go. They're a good point.
That was the weird thing I saw at Cape Hayes.
Okay.
A flying fish.
Really?
Yep.
Well, it's salty enough. They wouldn't have any idea where they were.
No.
But you look at flying fish. I mean, here they are going, trying to jump out of the water. And mullet, who have a gizzard and jump out of the water like that. You have to wonder one day if one isn't going to sprout bigger fins and try and just take off and become a bird.
That was the splitting of the growth of things. They say everything started from the sea.
Yeah.
So that's where they split.
Oh.
This side went mullet, this side went bird.
Gotcha. Yeah, well.
The split in the evolutionary chain.
Well, they said dinosaurs, a lot of them had small feathers.
Right.
So, and now they're birds, and if you change one gene in them, you know, click on a switch or off a switch, they had... chickens, they did something genetically with them, and they formed teeth on their beak.
That's scary.
Yeah.
They're like mean as it is.
Type thing, you know. It was like really weird. I forget, I was watching Discovery one night, middle of the night, couldn't sleep, and this thing was on. I'm like, wow, this is weird. But that kind of brings you into mullet, you know, and it's funny how people have changed so much since the 70s here. Because in the 1970s...
No, they haven't. They all got big, burly beards again. But
in the 70s, if you went to a party, and back then, when I first came to town, I was playing bass, so I was filling in with a lot of different groups and playing music, and you'd go to these big festivals and parties, and it was mullet, flays, and then smoke mullet, mullet gizzards, hog, and swamp cabbage. But every party had mullet gizzards.
I mean, right.
That was just staple, you know. And now you say mullet gizzard to somebody, and they look at you like, what? What are you talking about? No, mullet have a gizzard, and they eat them just like they do chicken gizzards. Now, I don't like particularly the flavor of mullet gizzard or chicken gizzards.
But neither do I.
I don't, you know, it's just funny to me how all this stuff has kind of gone by the wayside. It's like people who build wooden ships. They were building one of these massive ships because, A, they were out of wood big enough to do it with, and they found just enough to do one ship. They had to find one old guy who actually knew how to do it.
Right.
It took them a long time. First, they had to find the wood, and then the hardest thing was finding somebody who actually knew what to do.
Yeah.
how to use the hand tools, how to build the boat, how to, you know, make
how
it
to make
work.
It waterproof, and
yeah,
how
everything.
To bend the boards. And
so, okay, back to the fishing report. Walk in the Gulf beaches. If you're going to walk along the beach, Boca Grande, Venice, Minnesota, Cayo Costa, what are we likely to find?
Been some whiting, a few jacks, a couple Spanish mackerel and bonnet heads moving in and out. And then some of the beaches that are closer to the passes are starting to see some better numbers of snook and even a few redfish cruising along them.
No flounder?
I have not heard of a flounder in several weeks. That's not surprising. The water temperature is up to like 79 degrees. The Gulf is.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me. It's getting a little toasty for them. But everything else is all screwed up, so what do I know? And depending on the wind direction, you know, it's getting milky in one area and then it's clear in another little area, but it doesn't seem to be affecting the actual catching of the fish. You know, last week it looked like, you know, skim milk.
One of the things I remember being on the beach, and I was just typing it out, was we'd be out swimming and you'd be standing in the water and, you know, let's say knee deep to waist deep water, and you'd look down and there'd be a school of snook come swimming right through.
Right.
I mean, literally, I've had snook swim right between my legs. I mean, you're standing there looking and all of a sudden here's a school of fish and you turn to look at them and all of a sudden they just swim around you. They're going outside, inside. They, you know, your legs are kind of like pilings that they just swim around. They don't even
budge.
Yeah, they don't even really care that you're there. They're on the way somewhere to do something.
The first snook I ever caught was off of Middle Beach up there in Inglewood. And there was 100 people easily in the water there. And I was trying to be real careful walking around people as I was, you know, about... This was back when I'd actually get in the water past my ankles. I was up to about my thighs, and I was dragging that bait behind me and trying to dodge people and making sure I was careful because I had the bait out about probably 30 feet behind me. And that's how I caught my first snook amongst literally 100 people.
Yeah. It's just weird. I mean, you would just think all those people in the water and the snook would be just gone. And
try that on the east side or the west side.
Yeah. But, and it's funny because we know there's tons of sharks right there along the beach.
Sure.
Absolutely.
A massive amount of them. And they do the same thing. They'll just swim right by you. They don't
care.
No. And people are not good food, so they don't.
Well, what amazes me is that the sharks don't seem to take much advantage of the snook. That's always blown my mind down here.
Yeah, I mean, on my light at night, there'd be a bunch of snook and a gator would come up. And there'd be all these fish around, and you just wouldn't pay any attention to them. I don't know what it is about snook.
Maybe they taste like soap and they're skinned to them, too.
It could be. Didn't think about that. Maybe they're not a delectable fish while, you know, swimming around. Because I've seen lots of large predators that... The only one I really see tear up the snook is flipper.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Flipper.
Oh, yeah.
Flipper will do it. Dolphins, you know, I always say flipper.
But you never see the shark messing with them?
No.
Which is odd. If you have a school of mullet somewhere, there's probably shark. If you have a school of tarpon somewhere, there's probably shark.
That's weird. I wonder what the heck's going on with that. Because, you know, out of all the years we've talked about fishing and stuff, this is the first time I've ever thought about snook and larger predators and how often you see them around larger predators and completely unmolested.
Yep. Right.
That's something strange. All right, well, let's we'll ponder that in another life. Ponderosa, Sanibel, anything going on there?
Well, I've been a lot of tarpon at the bridge there at night. And then during the daytime, in the immediate vicinity right there around the docks at Ponderosa, there's been a few redfish, some big snook. And then out in the open water closer to the deeper channels have been some Spanish mackerel, a few bluefish. I've heard of a couple small to decent-sized sharks down in that area, too.
Been a lot of black tips down there.
Yeah.
That seems to be the direction they come from.
Everyone always calls them sand sharks, so I just give them the generic shark.
Yes, this is true.
right. Coosawhatchee, tarping up by Cape Coral Bridge and all the way up through to I-75.
Yeah. There's also been a pretty good wad of them right there at the mouth of the Coosawhatchee going around towards Knapp's Point and down towards Fort Myers Beach. They seem to be moving in and out of there. A guy said that there was a couple big schools of jacks that have been off and on there this past week. And big jacks, like 10 to 12 pounders. He said they've either been in front of the tarpon or behind the tarpon.
All right. Now, going back to just a casual thought, the reason there's so many of us is so when I'm typing, somebody else can talk.
Right.
Okay. One of those days. Like I say,
I know.
I have a hard time. I thought I was the only one. It seems to be kind of universally.
Well, you're right? Just down in that area. I don't fish.
Okay. All right. Matt Lachey. What's going on, Matt Lachey?
Matt Lachey had some tarpon in it a few days ago, but they disappeared.
Yep.
There's still some juveniles right there at the mouths of those canals. And then the immediate vicinity around Matt Lachey has got quite a few nice redfish scattered in all the deeper sand holes, some little oyster bars, pretty much just hodgepodge, you know, in the open and under the bushes. And then off the bridge itself, guys are still catching a few mangrove snapper, an oddball redfish, catch and release on some snook during the day and at night. So there's kind of been a good mixed variety down there.
Saw the weirdest thing with the redfish fishing down there, and it didn't click with me that day, because it usually never does. We were pitching half a crab up underneath the bushes, and they were tearing it up. And then all of a sudden they quit. Just quit eating. Maybe we caught them all, guys. Reel them in and let's see. And as they're reeling those crabs out of those bushes, they had 20 redfish following each crab. Would follow it right to the boat. And then sit there and look at you. Like you were stupid. And then go back to the trees. Alright, so I put a half a crab on my line, gave them all shrimp, threw it up underneath the tree, let it sit for a couple seconds, started reeling it out real slow, and when there was 10 redfish coming out, casting them, and they'd pound that shrimp. It was just weird how they quit on the crabs at the flip of a switch and wanted that shrimp. And they would, you'd get them right, I had them underneath the trolling motor, and drop them a shrimp, and bang, they'd eat it.
And I'm sitting here with the look of incredulous on my face and wondering, wow.
That's a little strange.
Yeah, but hey, at least you figured it out. I mean,
that's when we had that last front come through.
Did the front hit while you were fishing?
No, but it hit that next morning. And it was, you know, you'll always see fish spur up before a front and feed before a front because they're probably going to shut down.
Right.
And it was just weird how they went from casual eating to just aggressive. I mean, they would bang that crab with their head, but they wouldn't eat it. They'd slam it into the ground, wouldn't eat it. Toss them a shrimp, and they would jump out of the water for it.
Now, that is as strange. That's weird.
Yeah, that's way
off.
I mean,
to actually go after the crab, hit it like they were annoyed with it, and then eat the shrimp.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. It'd be a pretty cool thing to see.
The weirdest thing I ever saw. But we sat there and caught 10 or 15 redfish like that after they shut off on the crabs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm used to fish shutting down, but that's definitely different. I'm going to have to ponder on that for a bit. Well, while I'm doing my pondering, Pine Island Sound. What's going on in Pine Island Sound?
A very mixed variety of stuff. It's been really good down there. Along the edge of the intercoastal, there's been single and double tarpon, but very scattered, so it's not necessarily...
They're one day, gone the next, the next day.
Not necessarily targetable, but they're there. Been some Spanish mackerel and bluefish, and the sharks following along the same areas along the intercoastal. And then just basically every bush along the shoreline there's snook, redfish, been some trout in some of those deeper troughs along there. Captiva Rocks, and then that big sandbar basically south of the Captiva Rocks area, that's got a lot of trout and redfish scattered around the whole thing. And then basically working your way up towards Mondongo, Patricio, that whole area, it's kind of the same thing. You got your snook, your redfish, a handful of trout, you know, kind of a mixed gamut of stuff throughout that whole area. You know, it's basically, it's very, very active down there. There's, pick an area and start learning it and work it real thorough, and you should be able to find some kind of activity going on there. And there again, the water's been clear depending on which direction the wind's been coming out of. You know, it does milk up a little bit when you get that really strong southwest wind through there. But if it's blowing out of the east, it's literally swimming pool clear.
And it clears up at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
So you go out there
one tide change and it's done.
And it's clear.
All right, Burnt Store, Two Pines, what's going on there?
Lots of snook up inside Two Pines, all sizes, from 4 inches to 40 inches. Redfish up inside Two Pines have been spotty. There's been some nice snappers starting to school up in there, in your deeper holes underneath the trees. The deeper holes in the entrances have been holding snapper. Jacks. We were up in there not too long ago, and I was really amazed at the big sheephead that were in the upper entrance in that deep cut.
Okay. Let's see. Good, good. All right. That's going to take us up to Pirate Harbor, the east side of the harbor. What's going on in the world of the east side?
All around Pirate Harbor there's a ton of bonnethead sharks cruising around on the flats with some trout there, too.
But they've been funny. You'll go there one day, there'll be a million of them. Next day, ghost town.
Yeah.
Well, come back the next day, they're all back. And I think it's breeding.
I think it's breeding and pupping both.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're coming up in there to give birth, but also getting in their pre-spawn kind of pattern.
Yep.
There's also been a handful of snook cruising along the bushes and redfish up along the bushes and out in some of those sand holes.
I'm actually disappointed with the amount of redfish that are on the east side. I had a chance to take 2 days and just get on a trolling motor and go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to find redfish. Very, very hard. Now, you go through any hole that's more than 2 or 3 feet deep, and there's going to be at least one 40-inch snook sitting in that hole. They're everywhere over there. But the redfish in those 2 days, and the first day I went through the lower section, the second day I went through the upper section of the east wall, and 2 or 3 redfish.
Really?
Yeah. It's just surprising at how few redfish there are there.
All right, Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut.
Well, I wasn't done on the east side
yet. Oh, I'm
yet.
Sorry.
The snapper, if you can find a good overhanging mangrove over a deep hole, you're probably going to pull some nice snapper out of it. They're starting to ball up pretty well on the east side. A lot of big trout on the outside.
It's a good mixed variety of stuff, basically, yeah. Except for the redfish.
The trout are moving. Find the ladyfish. If you get into the ladyfish, half your distance to shore, you'll probably find the big trout.
That's pretty interesting. Are they hitting the same thing, that white collar working better than anything else? Or is it just not anything that goes in front of them?
The white has been working well. Any of your 17 MRs in either green or gold have been working well. Top water. I've been throwing those new poodle turds from DOA.
Oh, yeah.
And the trout love them. Can't get them in their mouth. You'll never get a hook set. But they will bang it the whole way to the boat.
I always love that.
Yeah, I do too. I can sit there and throw that thing all day long and have a blast with it. Lots of flounder. The second day I was in there throwing a cast net for mullet. for shark bait or for tarpon bait, and my guy's flight got canceled and never made it in town, but it seemed like every other throw I had a flounder in the cast net. Now, there's a fair to middling chance it was the same one, but
right.
But I was surprised at how many flounder I was actually pulling off the bottom, you know, just in behind that first row of islands down the front of the east wall.
Cool. You were going to say something about cobia here, I think. What were you talking about, cobia?
I don't know. You told me to remember, and I didn't.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's the problem with that pause button.
Yep.
There's been a handful of them over there cruising on the outside edge of the bar. A couple of them following some of the manatees.
All right.
And a stingrays. Been a lot of big stingrays in there.
All right. I'm not going to say it, but is this any more reports from the east side?
No, I think we covered it.
Okay. All right. Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut. Still dredging? Is it?
They're still dredging. The good news is they're done in the outside channel. So those of you that have been afraid to run, you know, in behind the sandbar and come in or out because of that big steel pipe they had running through there, that's gone. So you can go through there without ripping off a lower unit now. But they are still dredging it. Now, Poacher's Cut, starting to get some snook building up and some really good snapper in there in the that first main 45-degree turn where it's nice and deep where everybody usually fishes. And every once in a while, you might just catch a redfish.
Been some jacks and some juvenile tarpon up there inside in burnt store aisles. As you're moving through there, that's about the only thing I've heard good off the Alligator Creek vicinity. Been just a little quiet because of all that construction, destruction going on.
I don't know why. I just can't smell anything today. All right. This is going to take us over to Ponce de Leon Park. What's going on at Ponce Park?
Mangrove snapper started to pick back up just a little bit.
Yep.
Been some jacks off and on a little bit more consistently lately. I've heard of a couple black drum. Other than that, it's been kind of quiet.
The snooker's starting to line that that far side.
Right. Going up inside?
Yep.
That's those resident fish that are leaving the canals and starting to head out a little bit.
Yeah. But it's nice when you drive by and see 30 snook you'll never catch.
Right, exactly. Hey, look at those. It's good for the visual aspect of it. But definitely can be frustrating. But this time of year, and then this year, honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of those snook stay in a lot of those canals and actually spawn because of the drought that we're going through. I mean,
I think they
really
spawn.
They really don't have to leave this year because of the high salinity.
I don't think they leave anyway. I think they spawn right there at the mouth of ponds.
And you're right. The problem with that is if we get any rain while those eggs come, they all die, or 80, 90% of them die. But if we don't get rain, it really won't matter. PGI back up in the canals.
A lot of scattered tarpon throughout the whole thing. It seems like, obviously, they picked that one particular canal that they liked today, and then they moved to the next canal, and then the next canal, same way with the big black drum that have been back in there. Vinny's noticed a lot more little juvenile tarpon hanging around his light. Had several other customers saying they're seeing a little transition where the snooker's starting to leave a little bit and getting more juvenile tarpon on them, and some mangrove snapper, and obviously a few black drum hanging on them. Other than that, it's been jacks have been quite the big production lately, with guys trolling out of their canals and starting to get in back into those bigger, you know, 8 to 10, 12 pound jacks, especially Colony Point and I don't even know what that one canal system is. It's straight back from Ponce where it meets into that little lake.
That big lake
there.
Yeah. The guys have been catching some big jacks in there with the juvenile tarpon, too.
Usually a pretty good spot to find redfish, too.
I've always found big black drum there, but...
Yep.
All right. Gilcrest Pier, anything going on over there?
A few small jacks. Cow nose rays have been swimming through Creighton. Pretty cool thing for the tourists standing out there to watch because they're just coming through and they're spawning migrations.
Shark!
Yeah. Yeah,
look,
exactly.
Two sharks swimming side by side.
Yeah, exactly.
They put their wingtips up out of the water and they just kind of drift along literally with their wingtips up, sticking up. And it looks like a pair of sharks, you know, with the...
Swimming right next to each other in formation. So other than that, I haven't heard of much else over there.
No, that's been quiet.
It's been a weird year for over there in general. Ever since they changed that seawall system around, it seems to have changed it.
What are they building over there?
I don't know. I know they had the road closed for quite a while.
I drove by there on the boat yesterday. They had a geyser of water shooting 30 feet in the air. I don't know if they were starting to lay pilings in there or if they hit a water main or what it was, but...
It's hard to tell. That gazebo, where the gazebo sticks out,
right.
That point was actually made from bricks that they took off the old Cobble Street stones. Or Cobble Street roads,
right.
You know, and they were just... They didn't know what else to do with the bricks, so they just loaded them in a truck and dumped them there and made a peninsula out of those bricks. Years ago, before that filled in, it was a great spot for flounder. But I used to live right across from the park, right on Retta, when we lived there. And the snook fishing, flounder, everything was just great.
I remember the snook fishing. The snook fishing was awesome there.
Remember Angel learned to fly fish for snook walking that seawall.
Yep.
Yeah, so... right. I guess that kind of completes around the shoreline. Let's go out to the Alligator Creek Reef.
It's been good for cobia, but it's thinning out. Like I said, they're just going elsewhere looking for food. Still a few sheephead. A few spade fish here and there. I'm really surprised at the lack of spade fish. But you go down the east side, down the mangroves, they're everywhere. Spanish mackerel have been there. Haven't seen very many shark, haven't seen very many tarpon there. But it is full of bait.
Glass minnows or threadies?
Both.
Okay.
Glass minnows, small greenbacks on top of the reef. And then you've got the threadies on the outside. That stretch between the south end and Pirate Harbor has been loaded with threadies. Big threadies.
Okay.
Which is horrible because I can't throw the cast net on them now.
Because it's too clear.
Because it's too clear. You're in 10 feet of water and you're watching them on the bottom swim by. Because you can see the bottom in 10 feet of water now. And I can't throw the cast net on them. They see that thing open up in midair and poof. They're gone.
What about the grass down there? Usually when we have a drought like this, the grass really starts growing down there.
Grass has been doing great because it's clear. The sun can get to the grass.
Photosynthesis.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. The few years ago, we had that couple-year drought, and it was just a ton of grass popped up everywhere out in the middle of the harbor. We have beautiful weed beds and grass beds and stuff.
It's starting. It's usually... You know, that grass ends not too far past that sandbar. Once you get into that 4 or 5 feet of water, but there's grass out there in 6, 7 feet, you're starting to see patches of it growing, which is annoying because that's shark and cobia territory.
So
you're driving by looking for those dark spots that shouldn't be there,
right?
And now they're everywhere and it's all grass.
Gotcha. All right. Well, let's... the deep holes in the harbor. What's going on out there in the holes?
Catfish.
Yep, I was just thinking the same thing. How do I put this nicely?
Catfish. Breeding sea turtles.
Yes, tons of them.
A lot of breeding sea turtles around lately. It's pretty hilarious.
The sharks are going to start. I would expect to start picking up the cobia now because that's where the bait is going to start centering, so everything that eats it's going to go there. Quiet on the tarpon front out there.
Been quiet on a lot of different stuff out there right now, but there again, it's just kind of at that beginning stages of where that 20
the food
foot those
just showed
start
up.
To light up.
All right. Now let's get into bait report. The reef has, let's see, glass minnows and thread fins. Where else would you find whitebait?
Very, very good question. All the places that we've been hitting are magically void of bait. I think the only halfway consistent place has been devilfish. We were sitting at the smokehouse for the longest time getting bait, and then it just one day it was gone.
Didn't have anything to do with the 75 boats stopping there every morning, did it?
No, because your numbers... And that's what I would have blamed it on, too. But it was great bait one day, and consistent good bait, and then just light switch nothing. Right. Lots of pinfish, no white bait.
Right.
Now, marker two has been holding decent size to large thread fins. I haven't put enough effort into anchoring up and chumming to see if there's any greenbacks mixed in with them.
Right.
You know, it's just troll up and throw the net and hope for the best. The reef, like I said, has had decent bait, but you don't dare throw your net on top of the reef. With the water being so clear, you're stuck to a sabiki rig for your thread fins.
Any particular colors working better than others?
It's hard to tell because I grab one model and one model only because it works, and I'm not going to vary from it.
All right.
And that's the RG4 from, I think it's P-Line.
I don't know. Yeah, we've got so many, and I just bought...
It's the one we're out of.
12 more.
It's the one we're out of.
I just bought 12 more types from a different company. I got to find a place to get them put up with. All right, now we're into freshwater. I need some freshwater reports.
What you need is room for those 12 more models, sabiki rigs.
Well, that and the jigs, the new rods, and we bought shield rods and reels, and we've got threaders. I bet you I've got at least 60 or 80 new products to put on the wall in here somewhere. Yeah, I know. I've already picked out places on the ceiling for part of it.
That's what I was
We've
looking
got
at.
A whole line of what's that knife?
The brand Dexter knife. Russell.
Yeah, we got all of the Dexter Russell fillet knives in right now. It's actually pretty cool. So that's
what it will be cool when they're up.
Yeah, they're just not up yet. I'm working on a place to put them. But next week, all I'm going to be doing is remodeling, trying to. Well, I'm doing it while Barb's gone, so she can't yell at me.
Probably smart.
Yes. All right, back to the freshwater report.
The bass, bluegill, tilapia, and Mayan cichlids over in Rotunda in the Gulf Cove area. Been doing pretty good. The tilapia, depending on which pond, lake, or canal you're in, one's eating minnows, another one is eating worms, and another one is just... sitting there waiting for you to throw a cast net on them because they won't touch either anything else. And then I've had some pretty decent bass reports over in the 9 Mile Canal. It seems to have slowed down a little bit on the frog bite this past week, but the spinner baits have still been selling pretty semi-consistently. And, of course, the worms, the plastic worms haven't slowed down. They're still by far the staple that always stays pretty much consistent. Haven't heard much else for bluegill or crappie anywhere else other than just the 9 Mile and Gulf Cove area. It's been a little on the funky side. I think we need a couple more good rains to really get things active again.
Well, it rained in my house yesterday.
Not a drop at mine. It got cool for a minute with that real cool, like, hey, it's actually going to come here, and then it's nothing. Crickets.
We got a lot of rain over there on the other side of the river.
What is it? Carl. Just tell him I'll call him back in a minute.
I actually have to go home and lift the boat and drain it. We got a lot of rain yesterday out at Ridge Harbor.
I got quite a bit. I wouldn't say a lot. A lot would be pushing it, but got quite a bit of rain. All right. So what haven't we covered, or who haven't we covered? Anything?
I think we hammered it all pretty good.
Yep.
All right. Any, let's see. Oh, and if just on a final thought here, guys, we do have the store in North Fort Myers. It's in the Engman Marine Boat Dealership, just so you guys know. Store's picking up pretty good. I mean, they've had had a really good week down there.
Good.
I was talking to Vinny yesterday.
And if you want us to add someplace to the fishing report, frank@fishandfranks.com is my email. And let me know where that is. We're going to be trying to add, like I say, I'm going home this afternoon to get the boats running so we can go out and start getting pictures more of Fort Myers down at Pine Island Sound. I've got a whole bunch of boat ramps we've got to do. We're going to be expanding out the area fishing report to add some of these more places to them and different stuff. If you get a chance, stop by and see the guys down there in North Fort Myers, or come up and have the Fish and Frank experience here in Port Charlotte.
Two different experiences.
Oh, yeah. That one's clean and nice. If you're, you know, if you want to get your wife tackle, you know, and have a nice place, the women like that one because it doesn't smell like bait. There's no, it is. Right. Just beautiful, every clean, organized, nice. If you want a real bait shop experience, this ain't no
come
boutique.
Here.
Yeah,
right.
This one is all the sights, sounds, and smells of a actual, honest to God fishing place. I can't think of anything else we need to go over. I think we covered the area fairly well, so I guess that's about it for this one. So yeah, we'll catch you guys on the next Radio Fishing. Thank you so much for listening. Like I said, give me an email, frank@fishandfranks.com, if there's a place you'd like us to add to your fishing report. We will see you on the next Radio Fishing. Say goodbye, Captain Carl. Kale.
Bye.
Goodbye. Gee, thanks. I'm awake. Say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.